Mondays, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Investigators say the person they allege shot and killed two people and wounded six others at Florida State University is a 20-year-old son of a sheriff's deputy. And they say he used his mother's former service weapon, which was legally hers. More from CBS's Katie Weiss in Tallahassee.
You grow up and you do these shooting drills all the time, and it's... Now we experience it again.
Students and teachers scrambled when shots rang out Thursday afternoon near the Student Union building on the FSU campus in Tallahassee.
I didn't see the shooter, but I saw the kids running away. I heard some screaming. And the shots, like three rounds of like five shots, and then seven shots. So it must have been some back and forth going on.
Officers quickly engaged and wounded the gunman, identified as Phoenix Eichner, believed to be an FSU student.
No motive has been announced. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper reports a grand jury has indicted the suspect being held for shooting to death a healthcare executive outside of a New York hotel.
Federal prosecutors had announced charges against Luigi Mangione over his alleged assassination of United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson, but he has just been formally indicted. It comes after the government reveals it would seek the death penalty. Mangione is charged with four counts related to the fatal shooting of Thompson in New York City last year.
President Trump says he's had enough of Fed Chairman Jerome Powell warning that tariffs are a threat to the economy, and he claims Powell is too slow in cutting interest rates. Trump said Powell's, quote, termination cannot come fast enough. But CBS News chief legal correspondent Jan Crawford says Trump does not have the power to fire Powell.
Congress has restricted it. I mean, it's basically said that the president can't remove members or heads of some of these so-called independent federal agencies, including the Federal Reserve, unless there is cause, like misconduct. And that is obviously not the case here.
Trump administration claims it can't do anything to free mistakenly deported Kilmar Abrego Garcia from a prison in El Salvador and return him to the U.S., and the continuing deportee flights there have resulted in a blast from the bench.
In a scathing ruling, an appeals court calls the defiance shocking. The president refused to turn around deportation planes to El Salvador and says he'll continue to do so.
That's what the public wanted, and that's what I'm doing. But you have to speak to the lawyers because it's up to them.
Stacy Lynn, CBS News, Washington.
U.S. airstrikes against Houthi rebels targeting an oil port have killed 38 people and wounded 102 others, according to Houthi media. The U.S. Central Command says the strikes are designed to deprive Houthi terrorists of fuel. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Bucks head to Indy. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs, game one. The Pacers host the Bucks tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard back at practice. Just 4 weeks after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his right leg. How did he look? Head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, we didn't go a lot live today, but he was in practice throughout practice today. You know, and now we just got to see where he's at physically.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series tonight against the A's at American Family Field. The NFL draft coming up next week in Green Bay. How's the Packers roster? Mark Murphy.
You know, it takes a while for young players, even really talented ones, to really figure out the NFL. And usually by their third, fourth year, they're really, you know, really understand the game. And I know Brian, I think, has made some comments about we need to start competing for championships. And, you know, we're the Green Bay Packers. We, you know, it's all about winning championships.
That's Packers President Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Nate Bargatze's star continues to rise. The comedian is selling out theaters and has multiple TV and film projects in the pipeline. As it turns out, he wasn't busy enough, so he will host the 77th Emmy Awards broadcast. Bargatze calls the gig a huge honor to host such an iconic awards show and added that he is beyond excited to work with CBS to create a night that can be enjoyed by families around the world. Huh. You might not have heard Amanda Bynes' name in a while, but the former child star is excited to announce that she is now on OnlyFans. That's right, the What a Girl Wants star says fans can interact with her for just $50 a month. But hold on, perverts, there is a catch. Bynes says she will not offer any racy content. I know what you're thinking. I already pay OnlyFans thousands of dollars a month to watch attractive women bake cookies and read scripture. Good luck, Amanda. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and storms in the overnight. Some could produce some heavy rainfall. Morning lows in the upper 40s. A gusty southerly breeze. That wind will come around to the north on Friday. Still some shower and thunderstorm possibilities, with highs reaching the lower 60s. Currently 49 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Emerson Lehman, host of the WBAY Morning Show here in Green Bay, into the studio for a pickleball breakdown. And it's a bar band Friday night as Terry Barr drops by with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call and or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up this hour, in about 15 minutes, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will join us for a little weather and wine. See what's going to happen over the Easter weekend. Easter, of course, is on Sunday at 11:30. After the 11:30 news, J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here to talk all things sports. And we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with "This Shouldn't Be a Thing." If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, Jane says, at civicmedia.us. Today's Tisbet, as we call it, is the Ticket to Ride edition, so stick around for that. Right now, though, excited to be joined by Discover Green Bay's own Brad Toll is with us. Good morning, Brad. How you doing?
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
Nice to have you here with us. Big doings in Green Bay next week for the NFL draft. You must be a very busy man right now.
It's a little crazy, but very, very exciting.
Now, this
we waited a long time.
I was going to say, this is something that Green Bay has been after for years.
It has, yeah, probably 8 years or so. We've been working on attracting it here. When it left New York City, we looked at the size of Radio City Music Hall, and we have a venue here that's bigger. So we knew we could do it.
There you go.
What? Has the NFL draft always attracted this much attention, with thousands and thousands of people wanting to be where in the room where it happens? I am not that involved in football culture, so I didn't realize this was a big deal.
Yeah,
it got double booked at Radio City in New York, so the NFL kind of had to take it out on the road. And they took it to Chicago. Fans loved it. And it really gives the NFL and the players and fans a chance to kind of interact outside of a game day. And, you know, it's an exciting time. I think the best part of it is no one's going to lose at the end of the day. There's no losers. So everybody that comes, fans from all 32 franchises, all kind of, you know, good fun, ribbing each other, but having a good time celebrating the game.
When do the festivities really get underway next week, Brad? What can people expect if they're gonna go to the draft next week?
Sure, a lot of people will arrive on Wednesday, but the draft actually starts on Thursday, and there's what's called the NFL Experience. It's kind of like the State Fair of football, They have all different exhibits of Super Bowl rings and what locker rooms look like, that kind of thing. But the stage show then starts at 7 o'clock on Thursday, and that's the first round, the best players, so to speak. And then Friday, it starts at 6 o'clock, and that's round 2 and 3. Saturday at noon, and that's 4 through 7. So 7 rounds of picks.
Wow.
And where is this all? Is this happening at Lambeau?
It's just outside of Lambeau Field, next to our expo hall. Lambeau Field isn't even big enough to hold that size crowd.
Wow.
We're expecting probably 120 to 150,000 people will be there on that first day. About 250 to 300,000 over the 3 days. So, it's a great opportunity for us to show off the community. But there'll be 55 million people watching on TV from all over the country, all over the world. So it's a great commercial for us.
Absolutely.
To have the opportunity. My budget couldn't pay for an ad that size.
No kidding. Seriously, though. But I think already Lambeau is kind of an NFL fan's holy grail of places to visit. You have to go to Lambeau Field.
Yeah, we hear over and over it's a bucket list item. And, for this, the actual admittance, general admission to the draft is free.
Oh.
So it's an amazing opportunity to come and see Lambeau Field. The field will be open, even though the actual draft will be taking place outside of it. So great opportunity to see it, a great opportunity to have fun with other fans. Weather sounds like it's going to be great. We're still knocking on wood, but sounds great.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, so it should be a wonderful time. And there's a lot of things that the NFL is doing to really make this Wisconsin. We've got some supper club kinds of concessions, a little fish fry on Friday night.
Nice.
So some things to make it Wisconsin. And give us an opportunity to kind of promote the rest of the state along with Green Bay. Lots of opportunity for repeat visits. So we want to make sure everyone has a great experience. Yeah.
Did I read correct, Brad, that Brad Paisley's doing a free concert there as well?
He is, yes.
That
was just announced today. We've got some rappers. I might be a little old for remembering all those names. But they do have live entertainment throughout. Oneida Dancers, we're really trying to bring forward some of the culture at Green Bay too. I have a feeling there'll be a polka band somewhere along the way.
Perfect.
So it's just going to be a great time.
Brad Dole is here from Discover Green Bay, and we're talking about next week's NFL draft, which really gets going on Wednesday. I saw something this morning, Brad, that said there are still some rooms available if someone is listening and they're like, ooh, we should go to that. So people can still find accommodations?
They can. And we see people are reserving all the way from Green Bay to Milwaukee. But what often happens with an event this size is some of the blocks that were being held adjust. Some of the people that were planning to come can't come. So a couple of rooms drop off. So that's what's happening. We do have some availability, but not difficult to find a place to stay between us, Appleton, Door County, down over toward Manitowoc, out toward Wausau. People will be able to find a place.
Now, they made the, if I'm not mistaken, Brad, they made the announcement late in 2023. So we had a good long time to start preparing for this. When something like this happens, what do you do? Like, what's the first gear for you? Is it just got to reach out to the businesses, got to start getting support, got to answer questions? Like, what's the timeline from announcement to next Thursday for your group?
Yes, that's kind of all of the above.
Yeah.
we had all of the hotel rooms that the NFL and their vendors needed. A lot of our venues, all of that was on reserve as soon as we put the bid in. Because if they announced, that it was coming here, of course, that space would be gone in a flash.
Sure.
We wouldn't have anywhere to hold it. So all of that was taken care of well in advance. We went through a period where we were working with the NFL to contract all of that space once the announcement was made. lots of community questions. What does this mean? And, you know, a lot of things we didn't have answers for at that point. Road closures and where things were all going to be. But it really is the NFL's event. Mm-hmm. We're just providing support for them. So a lot of those questions had to be answered by them. We provided support as far as marketing, as they were releasing things that we could use. We started marketing the event, helping people find out where the rooms were going to be, overnight stays, transportation, how to get around. We've helped with shuttling, all of those pieces. So it's been a pretty big job. Now it's a lot of media, talking to media and explaining what's happening and answering questions. So it's really been a tremendous opportunity. And I will say the NFL, wow, they are pros at doing this. The detail that they put into this is really remarkable. I've never seen anything in it like it. And I've been in the business for about 40 years.
Oh, wow.
They're detailed. They don't miss a thing. And we're very confident in security as well. That group started meeting almost immediately with Homeland Security, FBI, NFL Security, our Sheriff's Department, Police Departments, Wisconsin State Patrol. Everyone is involved to make certain we're providing a great experience and a very safe experience for visitors.
Brad, what kind of economic boom do you see for Green Bay after an event like this? I mean, we must be talking about millions and millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, for the local area, we're figuring about $20
million. Wow.
For the state, probably more like $94 million, because we know from previous drafts, people drive, a lot of people, about 65%. So they're going to drive through Racine. They're going to drive through Eau Claire from the north, the south. Unless you swim, you have to drive through Wisconsin to get to Green Bay. So that's why the impact for the state is high as well.
Well, you got to stop for lunch, right? You know,
get a Kringle
and get some custard. And yeah, exactly.
Some cheese from the castle.
I mean, right.
One of the things too, Brad, that's going to be great is I love, I mean, you're going to hear this all weekend is people talking about how much they come to love Wisconsin almost immediately. And how I always hear this, I had no idea. And then they say that thing about Wisconsin. And to me, Green Bay is one of those great cities, because I don't know if there's another city with a football team like this, but in Green Bay, it's like, oh, where's the stadium? It's next to Bob and Carol's house. It's right there. It's not in the city center. It's not like, it's just like, oh, Steve's house, Bob's house, the stadium.
Lambeau.
It's just that I'm interested to hear the impression of people of Green Bay and Wisconsin.
Yeah, one of my favorite stories so far, we were talking to the NFL about parking, and we're asking homeowners to park like game day on their lawns. And when we were putting the amenities together, we said, you know, we should make sure people understand what's available at that house. And they're like, I mean, other than parking, it's like, well, bathrooms. And they're like, bathrooms. And we're like, yeah, they tell you the bathroom's the second door on the right when you go in the front door. They're like, they don't let people in their house. It's like, welcome to Wisconsin. Yes, we do.
That is so priceless.
To the hot dog too.
And you can use the good hand towels too. We'll let you use the fancy ones because you're a guest.
Thanks for the parking. We brought a dish to pass. Right.
Brad Dole with Discover Green Bay. Thank you so very much for your time, Brad. I hope you have a great time next week.
Thank you so much. Great to see you.
Take care. Stay with us when we return. Brittany Merlot will be here for a little weather and wine. You're listening to Matt and Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Saturday, April 19th at 10 a.m., the Grand Rapids Volunteer Fire Department Easter Egg Hunt at Mid-State Technical College, 532nd Street, North Wisconsin Rapids. Starts at 10 a.m. Get there early. The Easter Egg Hunt is sponsored by area merchants. Emergency vehicles will be on display from the Grand Rapids Fire Department, United Emergency Medical Response, Grand Rapids Police Department, and Wood County Sheriff's Department for ages 10 and under, weather permitting. Saturday, April 19th, Nakusa Easter Egg Hunts at 416 Crestview Lane. All egg hunts are free. Meet the Easter Bunny, face painting, lunch $3 for a hot dog, chips, and a drink. One big prize per age group. Easter Egg Hunt Saturday, April 19th at 9 a.m. at Vesper Recreational Park. There will be prizes, hot chocolate and coffee, raffle baskets, and the Wood County Sheriff's Department and Vesper Volunteer Fire Department will also be in attendance. We will have a cash raffle available for purchase. Please, no dogs. Easter Egg Hunt Saturday, April 19th in Rudolph. The Village Easter Egg Hunt will be held in the Rudolph Village Park at 10 a.m. This event is sponsored by the Lions Club.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Anne from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Mock. Calvi Tini on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at the same number, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 11:30, we will be joined by J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel to talk all things sports. We were just talking to Brad Toll from Discover Green Yes. Bay about the NFL draft next week, so I'm sure JR will have some information about that as well. Right now, though, she joins us every Thursday at this time. She was just here, and now she went away. Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist with a little weather and wine. I'm assuming we're having some internet problems.
Can you hear us, Brittany?
We have the blue circle of death on the computer, which is never good. There she is. Are you back?
I'm back.
You're back.
The weather wizard has returned.
Just like that. It's magic, right? It's good.
Glad to see you back. Brittany Merlot with Weather and Wine. So it's been pretty nice here in Racine, and now all the clouds are moving in already. So how much nice-ish weather are we going to get before it starts to rain?
Oh, I feel bad for you. I've got a lot of sunshine right now. You can see it shining through the window and all of that. But yes, those clouds are creeping in. They're going to take over the entire state. So we're going to have to wait for more sunshine until Saturday. But we are looking at some crazy different things going on here. So we've got a warm front moving through, right? Temperatures are pretty comfortable right now. It's a little bit breezy, too. Still in a high fire danger, though, because we need the rain.
Yeah. And yeah, there have been, I consider this a shocking number of fires. When I think about wildfires, you know, I know it happens in Wisconsin, but it's not something like we hear about like in California, which is a regular occurrence. But because we have been so dry, this is a growing concern. And we've had a whole bunch of wildfires in Wisconsin.
Yeah, we've actually had a record number of wildfires. I think they've almost nearly doubled just this year, and that's only a few months.
That's right? Not good.
We're only into April. No. There has been more than 500 burning over 2,000 acres And just last week, we had 112 and burned 200 acres. So every week, you know, and it's from the fact that we're cleaning up our yards, we're deciding to burn the debris, and then the winds are breezy, and it's just all that dead vegetation is just whew, lighting up out there. So even sparks from equipment, those are the cause as well. Flicking cigarette butts can be.
Don't
and
do
even
that.
Lightning strikes.
Don't do that.
Not looking at me anymore. That's right. And then one of the other concerns too about this drought is that we're coming into planting season too. Am I not wrong?
Yeah.
So
we definitely are.
And those farmers need that moisture as well. So it's.
Is there one area in particular, Brittany, where these wildfires have been more prevalent?
No, they've been everywhere, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, drought conditions are staying far northeast and far southwest. But, you know, we just need everything to green up. So we need the spring weather. We need this rain. We need the thunderstorms, too, I guess, because that's going to give us that heavier amounts where we are looking at picking up a good half an inch to an inch of rainfall over the next 36 hours or so.
And is that statewide?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I also thought that thunderstorms were important for releasing ozone into the atmosphere.
Ooh, you know, I don't know too much on that topic, but I have heard that. I can confirm it. I just don't have too many details on it. But it also, pollen, when you have rain beating down on the pollen that's budding, it's going to burst more pollen into the atmosphere.
That's not good news.
Hello, allergies. Yes.
Yeah, it's and this is something, too, and I've seen several articles about this, because we are warming, it is making pollen season and allergy seasons worse for people.
It is.
Yeah.
It really is, because there's just more pollen out there. It's lasting longer. I mean, the season is about 3 weeks longer now, and you've got the warmer temperatures and more ozone is just kind of sticking around. And the wildfires are deteriorating the air quality, too, on top of it, which is adding to those allergies increasing. It's just a whole snowball effect.
Yeah. Well, and please, please be mindful of the fire danger. Absolutely. It's not a small, it's a really important It's a really important reminder, and if you are considering, and I know a lot of folks like to, you know, you have your burn barrel in the backyard, please be mindful before you decide to do that and inadvertently spark something that would be terrible.
And if you do it, just make sure all of the embers are really, really out. Like, go back and check it a bunch of times, because the wind and the dry conditions can just reignite that.
I never, ever think about, like, I see, when I see people burning stuff, like, who doesn't love the smell of leaves? But I'm also like, I don't think you should do that. There's places you can dispose of that stuff. Like, you can go to your municipality
for the yard waste.
Dump them. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone has access to that. Obviously, if you live in a rural area, I'm sure it's much more common for folks to burn yard waste like that. But please, again, just keep in mind, we still have very, very dry conditions, and we don't want you to spark anything. That would be tragic. This is also the time of year when we have little creatures coming out. And
we have so many creatures. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Okay. So first of all, last night, I'm so excited. I'm such a nerd. I know. We had 205 million birds migrating to the Midwest just last night.
Now, you mentioned on Pat's show this morning, there's some app that you have.
Yeah, it's called a Birdcast.
Birdcast.
You can see them.
I can't believe I didn't know this.
More like Birdcast, yeah. Am I right? I'm kidding. High five. I'm just kidding. It's
so fine. What is Birdcast?
It just kind of projects and shows all of the different flocks and where they're going and where they're migrating. And it kind of has a heat map in a sense. So you can see the concentrations of where they're flowing and going to. A lot of them are coming out of Texas right here.
Sure. Well, and it's also a good reminder that if possible, you want to douse some of your outside lights, right, as birds are migrating, because that can tend to confuse them.
So, what?
Unless I'm picking this out of the sky, but I'm pretty sure I heard some bird expert say that, because migration patterns, they follow the same routes over and over and over again.
Oh, so it confuses them and they're like, what's this?
I know they do that in Florida with some of the animals, like they have to use certain lights so they don't follow the light into the water. They use like a red light or an orange light so they're not confusing them. So it makes sense. Jane dropping bird science.
Well, I'm going to check with Birdcast, and I'll have to find my bird expert, and we'll follow up on this. Brittany Merlot is Civic Media's meteorologist. She joins us every Thursday for a little weather and wine. Thanks a lot, Brittany. We will see you next week. Stay with us. We have news coming up next. Then J.R. Radcliffe from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Walking on the-
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. A 20-year-old Florida State University student is in custody after police say he shot and killed two people and wounded others at the Tallahassee campus. This student says many students have left the campus.
It's really somber. It's like everyone left. I feel like so many people left. They don't want to be here. They don't want to like keep walking around and reliving it, like what they saw, what they heard.
CBS's Stacey Lynn tells us a federal grand jury in Manhattan has formally indicted the man held for killing a healthcare executive.
Federal prosecutors are seeking the death penalty for Luigi Mangione for allegedly gunning down UnitedHealthcare CEO Brian Thompson outside a Manhattan hotel in December.
President Trump is upset with Fed Chairman Jerome Powell and wants him gone.
I don't think he's doing the job. He's too late, always too late, a little slow. And I'm not happy with him.
Powell says Trump does not have the power to fire him. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks head to Indy. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA playoffs game one. The Pacers host the Bucks tomorrow at noon. Damian Lillard back at practice. Just 4 weeks after being diagnosed with a blood clot in his right leg. How did he look? Head coach Doc Rivers.
You know, we didn't go a lot live today, but he was in practice throughout practice today. You know, and now we just got to see where he's at physically.
Baseball, the Brewers opening a three-game series tonight against the A's at American Family Field. The NFL draft coming up next week in Green Bay. How's the Packers roster? Mark Murphy.
You know, it takes a while for young players, even really talented ones, to really figure out the NFL. And usually by their third, fourth year, they're really, you know, really understand the game. And I know Brian, I think, has made some comments about we need to start competing for championships. And, you know, we're the Green Bay Packers. We, you know, it's all about winning championships.
That's Packers President Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After going into space thanks to Jeff Bezos' Blue Origin company, Gayle King has received quite a bit of backlash from her friends and colleagues and various celebrities. According to Variety, King addressed criticism that the flight was expensive, a self-indulgent publicity stunt, and pointless by saying Bezos' company is just trying to figure out a way to harness waste here on our planet and put it into space to make Earth better. The jury is still out on how many bags of trash they took, but it doesn't matter because in a related story, no one believes her. In case you're wondering how much participants paid to go into space through Blue Origin, speculation is that there is a $150,000 payment for the reservation, but the actual trip might have cost millions per person, and maybe even more for Lauren Sanchez, who probably had to buy extra space for her lips. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Showers and storms in the overnight. Some could produce some heavy rainfall. Morning lows in the upper 40s. A gusty southerly breeze. That wind will come around to the north on Friday. Still some shower and thunderstorm possibilities, with highs reaching the lower 60s. Currently 49 degrees.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your time in Goodfellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad-lib to De Niro. He's like security, and you're just like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad-libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Author and columnist Doug Moe joins us. His new work called Saving Hearts and Killing Rats, about the University of Wisconsin biochemist. Don't want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Ticket to Ride edition. If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays@civicmedia.us. Joining us now, as he does every other Thursday at this time, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru, J.R. Radcliffe, is here. Good morning, J.R. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys today?
We are excellent. We just talked to Brad Toll a little bit earlier in the hour from Discover Green Bay about all the activity going on in anticipation of next week's draft.
Yeah, this is obviously a major event. This is going to be really exciting. I'm going to be there in the swaths of humanity trying to get my bearings because I know the area. I just, you know, I live in Milwaukee, so I have to figure it
right
out once I get there. It's going to be interesting. You know, I think like a lot of people, I'm curious how this smallest market in pro sports pulls off one of the biggest events in pro sports, at least in terms of bringing people to one location like that. So that is definitely on my mind. As far as the Packers go, I as far as their draft goes, could go any number of directions. They have the 23rd pick in the first round. And, I mean, it could be anything. I mean, I guess it wouldn't be like a quarterback or a running back, but it could really go any number of directions. Edge rusher is a big one. Cornerback is a big one. We don't know what Jaire Alexander's future is in Green Bay. It seems like they've probably hit the end of the road there, so they're going to need cornerbacks, wide receivers. They have not famously have not taken a wide receiver in the first round since 2002. Everybody was clamoring for it. Got to get Brett Favre more weapons. Got to get Aaron Rodgers more weapons. And they've just never done it. They've had a lot of, you know, Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson. Those were all second round guys. Christian Watson, Jaden Reed. So they've done okay in the second round, I would say. But that's a big one. So I really don't know what to expect. We know there'll be about like 17, I think, is the number of players who will be on hand. So I will be trying to perhaps track some of those guys down and see what their experience is going to be like. But I have no idea what to expect. I don't know if it's going to be smooth. I don't know if it's going to be chaotic, crazy, probably a bit of both. So it's going to be interesting.
Well, according to Brad, he was saying that the NFL, when it comes to this event, they are like Johnny on the spot. Every nook and cranny is taken care of, and every stone is not unturned. So I would be surprised if there's chaos. But then again, in an event this big, there's going to be hiccups. There's going to be things like that. But I imagine it's going to be a nice controlled chaos, if you will.
Yeah, it is all contained very much around the stadium and the Resch Center, that area right there. So it's not like I don't expect that area really. You know, like you said, they'll have it all figured out. They've got it all mapped out already.
Right.
It's the getting in and out, you know, Green Bay, you know, there's only like a couple roads.
It's, yes.
You know, the old 41-43 is going to get you there. And maybe that's going to be trouble. It's lodging situations. But again, they've had a lot of time to ponder this and think through this. And now it's just showtime next week.
Something I was going to say we didn't mention is you put on the show notes, Jane, an official DOT advice page on travel during this time. And I will put those in the show notes in case you're going.
And another thing to keep in mind, too, that if you're planning on going up there, download that 511WI.gov app. That gives you a map of the entire state, shows you where the slowdowns are, shows you where the accidents are. That's going to be really useful, I think, for folks who are going to be attending the draft. JR, I asked Brad this, and I'll ask you this, too. Has the draft always been such an event? It just seems to me like over the last 10 years is when it's really become a thing for fans.
I will say that I, in the early 90s, as a young child, young JR.
As a young sprout.
Still bald, still with the beard, but very, very young at this point. I was a big draft fan. I really enjoyed following it. I you know, would read those articles in the newspaper and clip them out of the players at each position. There's so much information now in mock drafts, but back then, you know, they ran like one position group a day, and that was like your chance to learn some names that you just didn't know, and you know, tried to match them up with which teams, and that was different than what it is now, if only because the draft has started moving around. It used to always be in New York.
Right.
They kind of had that one central location. That is what has changed, I would say, over the past decade plus, where they really try to spread it out and bring it in places and places that aren't, you know, that aren't necessarily big cities, you know, like Nashville's hosted, Kansas City, Philadelphia. I mean, Philadelphia's a huge city, but like these places, they're really taking the show on the road. Obviously, Green Bay falls into that nicely. So that has made it more of a traveling event, but it has been, and to the NFL's credit, I guess, you know, their ability to turn silly, stupid events into major, you know, like
money makers,
3-day extravaganzas, right? That, yes, money makers. I mean, that's what this is. This is a series of paperwork transactions that has turned into thousands and thousands of people coagulating just to hear a name called. Like, congratulations, NFL, because that's one of the greatest tricks you've ever pulled. But really, it really does go back now several decades of being a thing that I think is a made for TV show. The Mel Kiper concept really popped up, I think, when I was a kid in the late 80s, early 90s. Like, that is it, to me, and maybe it's just because that's when I've been alive. Like, to me, that's when it really became big.
I think it's interesting you said earlier about the fact that, you know, Wisconsin, for all of our teams, were small market. But it almost would make sense if the draft goes on the road, it has to come to Green Bay, just because it's almost like a, you know, an homage to, you know, those original, you know, it's going to be in New York. Of course, it's going to be with the Packers and the Bears and those historic teams. So I think it's funny that they had to fight for as long, because Brad said they've been working on it for almost a decade now.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, some of it is just pure logistics, right? Like, how many hotel rooms does Green Bay have? Not enough for a big event like this. Now, you could stay in Milwaukee. You could stay in other Appleton. Places.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Of course. I'm sure the Appleton rooms are all full up. Like, there's ultimately the capacity to pull this off pretty much anywhere. It's just, logistically speaking, it's just easier to do in other places, right? So I'm sure that stood in the way. But it is like a pilgrimage for a lot of people. Coming to Green Bay is something that kind of a lot of NFL fans have on their bucket list.
Right,
certainly fans in the state of Wisconsin. You know, Green Bay, much like, I mean, this goes without saying, but it is like similar to the Brewers in Milwaukee. It is not purely Green Bay, Wisconsin's football team. Of course not. It is the state of Wisconsin. Yeah. I think Wisconsin more than, or I should say Green Bay more than other teams, really brings in fans from a wider geographic area. You know, the average amount of miles traveled, I think I saw last year or the year before, is just really high for a Packers game because people are coming from all over. So in that sense, it makes perfect sense. There's so much history. There's so much, you know, so much you can unearth. Lombardi era, you know, long before that. I mean, this franchise is over 100 years old. We did, by the way, have a draft in Milwaukee back in 1939 at the Empire Ballroom in the Hilton downtown. Yes,
I remember it well.
Oh, yes. Quite the event. Little different then. It wasn't nearly as exciting. There was fewer people gathered outside the Schrader Hotel at the time, as in none. But there was actually the NFL championship game was at the State Fair Park the next day. So that was a big deal. But that's the reason the draft was in Milwaukee. So yes, it has changed dramatically over time. And I think Green Bay is a perfect spot for it.
We did have a couple texts that I just wanted to share. Tyler listening in Madison on WMDX. I'm going to the draft. My only gripe is that the buses stop at 10 PM when the experiences go until 11. Would be nice to have some public, to have more public transportation. And Sarah in Green Bay listening in on WGBW. Come park in my yard. I'm just two blocks over from Lambeau. People use your bathroom, Sarah. Oh. You're good to go.
She's going to make some money this weekend. Congratulations to Sarah. Or next weekend, I should say.
Not to get into citywide municipal logistics, but I would imagine that maybe they would extend the bus hours just for this event. You know, like, all right, we'll go to 11 or midnight and blah, whatever. Like, it behooves them. Yeah, behooves.
A lot of money involved here.
Yeah.
They'll figure out the thing, and then the next time they host a draft in a couple of years, they'll have it figured out.
It'll be smooth. With Journal Sentinel's J.R. Radcliffe is here. Let's talk about the Bucks playoffs opener. Saturday already?
That's right. It'll be at Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis. They're playing the Pacers. It's the 4-5 seeds. The Bucks were the 5th seed, so they do not have home court advantage for the first time since before they started going to the playoffs. Well, no, I guess in 2017-18 with Boston, they did not have home court. But this is an interesting series. Like they obviously, these are the two teams that faced off last year. Giannis is healthy this time, unlike last year. Dame Lillard is not. He was not super healthy last year either, but he was able to play. Still coming off of this blood clot in his leg. No idea when he's going to be back. It does not sound particularly promising, but certainly not for the first round series. So Indiana gets a little advantage that way. Indiana, of course, has Tyrese Halliburton. He's from Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He's had a tremendous career to this point, two-time All-Star, had a slow start to this season, but is back doing all the things that he can do. Pascal Siakam, another All-Star player for Indiana. The two teams don't love each other. They've had some backs and forth. There was a big thing over a game ball. There was so many
fouls.
Patrick Beverley threw a basketball, rifled a basketball at some fans last year in game six. That's a lawsuit. That's a thing. Bobby Portis has had trouble. You know, he's gotten ejected from a couple of these games. So there is bad blood is probably a little too strong, but there's definitely some tension, which I imagine will play out at some point in this series. So this is an interesting one. The Bucks have been favored in first round series for a long time. Actually, even in the last couple that they haven't won. So this is an unusual position for them. But Giannis tends to do very well against Indiana. I think he'll get huge numbers, and maybe he will will them into the second round all by himself. He is capable of doing that. It's not going to be easy. He could get 50 points a game, and they could still lose the series. That actually is plausible. Yeah. But Giannis is going to want this one really, really bad after he missed last year. So we'll see how this plays out.
Calvin, you're our biggest Bucks watcher here. I'm wondering how you're feeling about this.
I'm not confident that the Bucks are going to like win the championship or even make it to the conference finals, but I am relatively confident they'll win this series. It feels like Milwaukee's more experienced. It just feels like Indiana is not as they're ranked higher than their performance should be.
The Bucks are not going to the NBA championship, nor are they going to the Eastern Conference Finals, barring something huge, you know, Damian Lillard coming back. I do not think the Bucks will beat Cleveland. But I agree with you, Calvin, on Indiana. I think the Bucks will win this series. I probably thought that last year, too, and it didn't work out. And the Bucks were probably, you know, seemingly a little better equipped last year, even without Giannis, maybe. Well, actually, no. I thought we weren't sure Giannis wasn't going to play last year, so I was more optimistic than I probably should have been. This year, the guys who, besides Giannis, kind of that second-tier players, the guys that are coming off the bench are a little bit bigger, a little bit taller, maybe a little bit more able to keep up with Indiana when they get physical. You know, Indiana's going to want to mix it up with the Bucks because last year that worked. They got tempers flaring. They got Bobby Portis ejected from a really important game. So I'm imagining they're going to try to do the same thing. It's very much the same players that Indiana had last year, almost entirely the same group of guys. So I do believe that the Bucks will get this right. And I think Giannis is just that good that he can will this team to victory. It'll be tough, but maybe six games. I said even five games. I think after that, they're in trouble. I mean, Cleveland is sensational, and if they don't have Damian Lillard, I don't think they can do that. But, you know, for the time being, I'm going to say I am going to actually err on the optimistic side this time, which is not common.
For me. I know. Wow. That's great. For the series. Anyway.
Basketball. Yeah. That's all I got.
briefly on the Brewers, we only got about a minute left.
Sure. Well, they're okay. They're 10-9.
Yeah.
I think the problems are the same. They're going to get healthier, which is key. You know, hopefully Tobias Myers comes back soon. They're starting pitching, which has actually been pretty good. When their starting pitching gets bolstered even more, I think it's great. You know what? In their 10 wins, they've allowed 10 runs. One run per game in the 10 games they've won. In the 9 games they've lost, they've allowed 84 runs, 9.3 runs per game. So, yeah. Greg Bach, I have it. All they have to do is allow none of the runs instead of all of the runs, and they're going to win the games.
Look at
this
that.
This is why he's our sports guru, folks. This he has why, all the answers. Right.
He knows.
Thank you, J.R. Radcliffe.
Follow J.R. Right. Radcliffe in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us every other Thursday. Really appreciate it, J.R. We'll see you in a couple and a little right, bit and an soon. Hour earlier, too. So that's all.
Oh, yeah. Gotta get up early now.
All on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. We'll be back with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Ticket to Ride edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts, discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org. Supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calvi on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just quickly, some breaking news from NBC News as we come back on the air. An active gunman reported at Florida State University. At least four people hospitalized, according to a local hospital. The university urging students to seek shelter. This is from 5 minutes ago. NBC News reporting an active gunman reported at Florida State University. At least four people hospitalized. The school urging students to seek shelter. I'm sure we will have more for you coming up at the top of the hour news. A couple of other things I wanted to share before we get to our tisbet for the day. We were talking about with Brittany Merlot about the dry conditions and the number of wildfires we've had breaking out in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So just keep this in mind. Angie in Monroe says, I just want to let you know I have 10 acres that I need to burn. So I'm having our rural fire department do it.
Wow.
I have to make a donation, but no matter what happens, I didn't light it. And they have all the connections if things get out of hand.
That's
so
amazing.
That's a good thing to keep in mind. And then Mark from Prairie du Sac also texting in. Remind people that if they cause a wildfire, they are responsible for the suppression costs. And those costs will go to collections.
Dang.
If they don't get paid. I used to read those reports and bills for decades when I worked at the DNR. So please, please just use some extra caution.
Yeah.
Until we finally catch up and we get out of these drought conditions, especially in southwestern and northwestern parts of the state. Yeah. Please be careful. Okay, Calvin, it's 11:53. That means it is time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
As we always say, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. This from... Reason.com, Charles Oliver has the byline. Headline reads, Bus Stop and Go. Lino Monteleone. I love that name. I love that name. Lino Monteleone.
The way you said it, too, with the hand expressions, right? That's how you say that name.
Lino Monteleone, who lives in Montreal, is fighting a $134 parking ticket after a bus stop sign was installed overnight in front of his house, which replaced a legal parking spot. Just to let me just say this again. Guy lives in Montreal. In front of his house, there is a legal parking spot.
Yep.
So his daughter parked there. On April 1st of this year, his doorbell camera showed city workers setting up a sign naming it a bus stop. Just before 8 a.m., a parking agent came by at 8:05 and gave his daughter a ticket for parking in a bus stop.
This, you know when people like ridiculously gripe against the government.
Yes,
I think of stories like this and go, maybe there's some truth.
There's reasons.
Yeah,
there's reasons. The official transportation outlet in Montreal says the sign was added because of nearby construction, and that it doesn't tell residents when they're installing new bus stops because there are 10,000 in the city, and it's just too many.
No, sorry.
Lino, frustrated by the lack of warning, says so far he has seen no buses on his street using the new bus stop, and he will be contesting the ticket in court. His lawyer argues this is not fair because there was no way to prevent the violation. Again,
yeah,
he lives in Montreal. In front of his house, there's a legal parking stop spot. His daughter parks there. The city comes in overnight.
Yeah.
Declares it a bus stop. 5 minutes later, they give her a ticket for parking in the bus stop.
This spot is a bus stop now. Abracadabra. No, I mean, also just set it up and say, like, we'll be a bus stop in 2 days. Or so. I mean, this seems like something that when it goes to court, the judge can be like, this is officially a waste of my time.
And he'll say, this shouldn't be
a thing. If we can get the judge from the Montreal court to be on the show to just go, is it, he's going to do Italian? No.
No, it's French.
French Canadian.
And he'd say it in French.
Poutine. Too. I don't know. I don't know French Canadian. People, but yeah, I just the idea. Each way can be like, wait, what? You're looking around going, wait a minute. This was a parking spot last night.
Exactly.
I'm not crazy.
I know. You are not crazy. And again, maybe they want to consider giving residents just a little more heads up,
a smidge
than that. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up tomorrow, it's Friday. Dan Schaefer will be here.
Is it Friday?
Tomorrow is Friday already. Dan Schaefer will be here from the recombobulation area. Many, many things to talk about, apparently, including some infighting among Wisconsin Republicans.
That's terrible.
Dan Schaefer will be here to help us break that down. That is all coming up tomorrow on the show. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy today, even just a little bit, and you have the chance to share it. Keep it right here. Todd Alba from 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn. I'm sorry, Todd Alba, noon to 2.
You're
Maggie Dawn, 2 to 4. I'm jumping ahead to next week. And news is coming up next. Have a great day. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
At 2:30, we're going to play a little Which Whopper's Worst. And I'm not talking about burgers. Which lie of the week is the worst lie? Tune in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. Florida State University has canceled all home athletic events through Sunday after a gunman shot and killed two people and injured six others at their Tallahassee campus.
I just feel awful for the students on there having to go through these emotions right now, dealing with the, feeling scared for their lives, honestly. It's really scary.
More from WCTV Television's Brianna Shaw.
By late afternoon, campus streets were filled with the sound of rolling suitcases. Many students packed up and left, some with no plans to return anytime soon. One parent told me she dropped everything and drove from Jacksonville just to get her child.
I was so desperate and I drove as fast as I could because I just want to be with her. My heart breaks from the families they lost their loved ones.
A suspect is in custody. Police ID him as a 20-year-old student. A grim milestone comes.